please.
Please what?
Please fuck off.
All right.
Anyways, this is now a solo podcast. Welcome back to Wrench Jockey. Welcome back to Wrench Jockey Radio yet again. Nothing super exciting going on over here, I guess. This is the second time we've recorded this week because things have been lining up nicely.
This is ass.
This is ass, he says.
This is my third podcast this week.
Is it the third? It would be the third.
It's my third.
It's your third. Oh, it's your third.
What, you think you're special or something? Are you cheating on this podcast?
Fuck yeah, I am.
You whore.
Haha, you're
did
a whore.
Did we introduce you yet?
Sorry, I'll shut
then
up.
Then shut the fuck up.
Chiming in from the...
Hailing from Rochester!
Hailing from Rochester, and hailing from the third side of the four-sided table, is Ron M.F. Maple.
Meow.
It meowed at me.
It meowed at you. Ron has been on this podcast before, but Ron didn't really get to explain who he is. Or anything, really, because the podcast you were on, I mean, you've been on and off the podcast.
He just fucking meowed at us. Is there anything else to explain?
I'm Beto.
Yeah, Ron's pretty special.
All right, that's it. See you next week.
that's the whole podcast right there.
It's a minute and 17 seconds long. Ron, who the fuck are you?
I am Ron motherfucking Maple, is who I am.
Yeah, what's your deal, huh?
I got a lot of deals. Which deal you want to know about?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hold on.
I'm trying
Let's
to,
get an
I'm
official. To... We haven't got this from him yet.
Uh-oh.
Let's get an official shitbox count from Ron.
We do have to get the official shitbox count from Ron.
Honey. All right. Let's start strong with the second gen. Before I even had my driver's license. 1998, three-quarter ton, 5.9 Magnum, quad cab, short bed, four-wheel drive.
What a fucking gal.
What a gal. I was like 13 when I owned this. Sold it. Used the money to buy my second gen.
You sold your second gen to buy your second gen?
Sold that to buy my first Cummins, which was a 2002 NV4500 241 DHD Dana 80 disc brake rear 355s.
That gal had a non-disconnect in the front, too.
Sure did,
because the only trucks that came with non-disconnects in the front were O2 stick trucks.
Sure was. And it was actually sold to us as an NV 5600. Like, bought it out of Colorado on eBay, okay, for $2,500. It used to be, it had spacers on the rear axle to make it duals, and it had a big-ass hydraulic bale spike on it.
Oh, no shit.
Instead of a bed. And so when it came to us, but it was a single rear wheel truck. So when it came to me, it didn't have an alternator, didn't have a bed on it. It would only turn like half a turn to the left for some reason, but it'd go right like a motherfucker. It was sold as an NV 5600. It was ended up being an NV 4500. So put a lot of time, love, money into this pile of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Took the spacers off, got it back to the single rear wheel, found a rust-free bed, put it on, painted everything, ranch hand, yada yada. Had big old 7-inch miter cut fucking stacks on this VP truck.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Typical.
You know what sounds way better on a VP truck? 8-inch shotgun cats. That thing sounded like a fucking semi. I'll die on that hill.
Oh no, this one did too. This sounded straight up like anything with an N14 in
VP
it.
Trucks with stacks sound like semis.
They do.
Hmm. Okay.
100%.
I guess I never really.
No, I'll die on that hill.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Had stacked tuners because VP truck.
2008.
Literally, yeah.
Edge, let's see, it was Edge comp box with hot unlock on level 5 and a Smartie that was on level 5. Because timing.
I need to buy a Smartie.
Oh, God. We're getting back in a stack of tuners again.
Well, yeah. You know, Ron, it's actually funny.
Uh-oh.
I have all the original paperwork from that comp box I put on the other day.
Mm-hmm.
In the paperwork, it literally has a...
Do not stack the tuners.
More or less, hey, don't be stupid and stack the tuners.
Well, that's why the Smartie was on only level 5 instead of 10. You know.
Yeah, I think it's more front-ups on 10.
Yeah, but also... 16-year-old me and right foot, and yeah.
I kind of forgot Smarties had that many levels to them, that many adjustabilities.
Oh, there's so many. It's really essentially the same level as a...
Yeah.
Because the comp box, you can adjust the main five levels.
Yeah.
And the five sub-levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways.
So, had that for a while. Had a work truck that was also a regular cab. It was a 96. The way we acquired it is it was a five-speed truck. They'd parked it on a hill, didn't set the parking brake, popped out of gear, rolled down the hill into a lake.
Neat.
So, got that for next to nothing, threw an engine in it. It was a 5.9 Magnum. The most gutless fucking thing I have ever driven. 4 to 6 miles a gallon at best, and didn't have any of the power to back it up.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. It's like driving a throttle body 454.
So naturally, I put a...
Oh, yeah.
I also put a fucking snowblade on it, on this five-speed truck. That also, terrible decision.
Horrible idea.
Yeah, but it made a lot of money, so... ended up getting rid of both of those. Then my first car, 1981 Volkswagen Rabbit with a 1.6 IDI Perkins diesel.
What a gal.
Honey, yeah.
That thing was fucking cherry, okay? And then I learned how to turn off the injection pump on it, and, yeah. The town turned black that day.
The town turned... Paint it black.
Pretty much. Took this 52 horsepower from the factory in 1981 and made it probably like 56 horsepower, but smoke.
It's a little faster, but smoke.
Yeah. No, like, if you're heading, if you know the area at all, if you're heading south on 31 towards Peru, there's a little hill right before you crest the state trooper post. It used to be, before I turned the pump up, I lost 5 mile an hour going up that hill with the foot to the floor.
It's a doggy-ass motor.
Yeah, like it's an IDI, non-turbo, fucking, would at least 5 mile an hour. After I turned the pump up, I would at least maintain 60, maybe gain a mile an hour.
Couldn't see behind you.
Could not see fucking behind me at all. This is the best fucking thing ever. Had that for a little while, and then at the same time, I acquired my first Common Rail, which later earned the name the Common Fail. Because
Common Fail.
Bought it from less than reputable auto park, and that was in Rochester at the time. They're no longer there. And six...
You know what? I think I bought mine from the auto park too. I bought mine in Goshen though. No, I know it was the auto park.
Yeah, so I bought mine. This was the auto park that was in Rochester. They're no longer in Rochester because
there's
got
no
sued.
Auto. There's no auto park anymore.
I think there's one left. There's one in Plymouth I know for sure still.
Oh.
But I think that's like the only one.
Yeah, I'm 90% sure I bought mine from the auto park as well.
Auto park. Where in Plymouth?
This shares a lot with Walmart. Like, I could go through Walmart and Applebee's. And
oh, yeah. Okay.
Mine, I think my saving grace was mine never made the lot. I showed up, and it was like behind, like they had another inspection, and I was like, I want that one.
I want that guy.
Yeah, that's the one I want.
Yeah, I bought it, and then 6 weeks later, the injectors were going out, and I was poor 17-year-old, couldn't afford to fix it, so I kept driving it.
Well, yeah,
until it was running on 5 cylinders.
Because it melted the 6th.
And then 4 cylinders.
Uh-huh.
And then it wouldn't start one day. Like, I knew it was getting really bad, so I'm like, oh, I need to start driving my Rabbit again. And then I went to drive the Rabbit one morning, the Rabbit wouldn't start. So I'm like, fuck, I gotta drive this fucking truck and get to school. Whatever, and I go outside, go after school, start it up, it runs for like 15 seconds, dies, won't restart.
Like, checks out.
Yep. So it melted 3 cylinders. because also when I got it, the EFI live switch was unplugged. Again, I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground when it came to a lot at that point.
Yeah.
Like, especially Common Rail stuff. And it was unplugged, and then someone's like, oh, well, if you just plug it in your OBD2 port, it's sitting right here. I'm like, okay, plug it in, take it across the parking lot the one way on one side of the switch, and it doesn't really do anything. I'm right. Put it the other way. Whoa! There's the fucking power. Like, oh, yeah. And then it was very short-lived. So it sat for approximately 579 days before I could afford it. I didn't even get the permanent plates yet. It still had the paper plates when it melted down.
Shit.
And so it sat for almost 2 years, and then finally got it going again. In the meantime, I sold my rabbit. I bought a $420 S10 4.3 5-speed 4-wheel drive.
Badass.
Had race slicks for tires. Like, there was no tread. There's no cords, but there was no tread.
Oh, that's fine.
It was 2-wheel drive and 4-wheel drive because open differentials. They had ripped out the factory vacuum system for the front and diff and had a hood release cable to engage and disengage to disconnect. The exhaust.
Wow.
The exhaust ended at the collector.
It checks out.
Exhaust ended at the collector. Like, it collected and then no more. Nothing. No radio. Ratchet strap to hold the driver's side door closed.
I think you mispronounced S10.
No, no, no. It earned its name. You know what it was called?
Meth 10.
Sketch 10.
No, Meth 10.
It was the Sketch 10. She was flat black, except for the blue in the bed where the guy had painted parts for his Civic in it. It was like this bright, like almost the blue we have for the Outlaw.
I'm back to Meth 10.
Drove 3 hours on a school night to go get this fucking thing. It was like near Columbus, Indiana.
Oh my god.
Columbus is a haul, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I drove that.
Columbus is a haul for you.
Yeah, on like Tuesday night, I went and bought this thing. And then that thing, the coiled went out on it, so it sat for a little bit, so I was back to driving my rabbit. And then I sold my rabbit and bought a 96 Crown Vic. That only had like 110,000 miles on it or something.
Oh, badass.
The dude's grandpa had died and left it to him. And the guy needed rent money for the next day. So that was like 750 bucks for this thing. Pretty nice. It wasn't like the cool classic Crown Vic. It was the body style before that.
Crown Vic's Crown Vic.
Probably should have kept that one, but I doubled my money on it in a week. So
reasonable to ship it, yeah.
Let's see. Sold that. What came after that? Oh, then came the Capri. 1991 Mercury Capri XR2. Turbocharged 1.6-liter gas, 5-speed convertible. Very fun. Very big pile of shit. That fucking thing I sank so much money into. Like, I had to do something, like, that had, like, had to go on this thing to make it run every week. The turbo seals were so bad. It leaked burned 2.5 quarts of oil a week, and it's a 4-quart engine. You know how I figured
that's
that
a lot.
Out? You know how I figured that out? One day I started up, I'm like, the lifters sound kind of noisy. I guess I haven't checked the oil yet. Oh yeah, it's because there isn't any.
Hey, you know.
And it had a throttle position sensor issue too that was real bad. And of course, being that they only made the car from 90 to 94, parts were super easy to find, you know. So that was really fucking annoying to deal with. Let's see, what came after that? Oh, I traded that for a 1996 Dakota with a 318 in it. And it was kind of a, I hate trading because of this especially. It's who's trying to fuck who over in that deal.
Well, yeah.
For shit boxes. Met in Kokomo. He was from Indy. Met in Kokomo. I took a buddy with me. We were about halfway there, and the CV axle tried to explode. Like, we're just going down 31, and it just kind of
I like the tried to part.
Yeah, like it tried to come apart.
It didn't, but it tried to.
Yeah. And we just kind of fucking look at each other. We're like, okay.
This car's not coming back with us.
Yeah, it was kind of at that point we decided no matter how big of a piece of shit this truck was.
It had to be better.
It was going to be better. I was wrong. Get this thing, and dude failed to tell me that the fucking headlights don't work. And we're trading at dusk. The headlights don't work. But there's Walmart fog lights and a light bar. Like, the running lights, taillights, everything but the actual low-beam, high-beam headlights works fine. So I'm driving up 31 in the dark with, there's got to be these $25 fucking Walmart fog lights that are very haphazardly wired in. So that was cool. The driver's door was, like, I don't know how it didn't fall off in my ownership. Like, the hinges needed to be cut and re-welded. Like, not just door pins, like... It was,
or beyond the door pins.
Oh, yeah.
Bad
it was
ass.
Fucking bad. Like, I had to take... The dome light wouldn't shut off when you shut the door. That's how offline this door was. And you know how I got the dome light to shut off? You
took the ball out.
I went to Walmart and got furniture doors... The furniture pad things that you put on the bottom of furniture to keep them from scooting. Stacked those in the door jamb right where the sensor is. Shut the light off. Put the plunger in. And then that would wear out after a couple weeks. Put a new one on there. Good to go. That thing burned like a quart of oil, engine oil every week, but it leaked 2.5 quarts of transmission fluid every week. And the way I found that out is one day the converter wouldn't unlock and it stalled at a stoplight.
Badass.
Because I didn't check it. You know, whatever. It was fucking stalled out and I'm like, I don't think the converter unlocked. So I pull over and I check it. Yeah, nothing on the transmission dipstick. I'm like, that's cool. Put a headlight switch in it. And then the headlights worked. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Until one night I was driving from Rochester to Fort Wayne, and I learned that no matter what you do, after roughly an hour of drive time, the headlights just shut off.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, it's just
no, back... it's supposed to do that.
Yeah, like, it just was like, no. And when you're at night on State Road 14, let me tell you, and they just shut off, you're like, oh. You go into panic mode. And then I'm running these fucking fog lights in this light bar and have to turn this light bar off every time somebody is, like, meeting me. And then I raced a Murcielago on 69.
What?
I was just going 60 up 69 to get to my exit for Fort Wayne, and there's this group of fucking Mustangs, Camaros, and there was a yellow Lamborghini fucking leading this whole pack.
Murcielago right at the front.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I would have blown that bitch's doors off,
no,
too.
They all passed me, but I'm going 60, and they're only going like 70, 80, so I'm like, hell yeah, brother, my 318 fucking, what? Fucking put that bitch past them all, and I know they're just like, what is this hillbilly motherfucker doing?
It's actually funny you bring that up, man. My buddy in high school, not to stop you,
no, but you're good.
My buddy in high school had this 12 valve. It had to have had Marine 370s in it with pump work. It would, from
it
the time
your too much.
Dude, from the time your foot was in it till the time it let out, it would fog. I mean, you could not see behind you.
Oh my god.
We passed a fucking Lambo on. We passed a convertible Lambo on 33, and we seen it coming, so he just fucking laid into it, dude. Here's my $3,000 shit box. Eat my smoke in your $100,000 car and die. Oh, man.
But no, I ended up trading that for a... See, that was a 96. I traded it for a 91 or 93 two-wheel drive 3.9. Dakota, just because I was getting ready to start tech school and I wanted something to get better fuel economy in that 318. And the door,
Ron rode me around for a while.
And yeah, and the door wasn't going to fall off and stuff like that. So, and then that truck, first of all, the dude I traded for cared way too much about this truck. Like, this was his baby. It was not that nice.
Yeah, yeah, and you said, here's my shit box.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and he wanted to trade. I'm like, oh, fuck it, whatever. Like, it'll at least get decent fuel economy, a little two-wheel drive V6, whatever. Ended up, that had an NV1500 in it. And he said it ground going into third. And so, one day there was this local douchebag who had this lifted 5.3 round body, he thought it was the coolest fucking thing ever. I'm like, I bet this two-wheel drive fucking Dakota will beat you. So we go to our racing back road or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I was fucking, I was out on it. Like, I go to bang third. That was the end of third gear.
What the fuck?
That was the end of third gear.
That's right. We didn't know third gear where we're going.
So then I just drove around for a while skipping third.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta wind it way the fuck out,
oh,
so you
yeah.
can go from 2 to 4.
It was so
oh,
fucking
yeah.
bad. And then I ended up actually rear-ending my buddy with that truck and totaling his car.
Badass!
That was a whole... That wasn't really badass at the time, but... So that the third gear went out, so it sat for a while I figured out what I wanted to do with the transmission or not.
Yeah.
And I drove my common fail back and forth. Well, I... Yeah, then I wrecked that one. And I ended up selling it to some of my buddies for, like, stupid cheap, because I just wanted it out of my fucking driveway. I was done
yeah,
with it, whatever.
Understandable.
And then we proceeded to beat the living fuck out of it, like, manifolds glowing red burnouts, until it wouldn't anymore. And then it still did. So then we drained the oil and did it some more, and it was still fucking going. This 3.9 is probably the most durable V6 I've ever fucking seen.
Nice.
I'll die on a different hill.
That thing, like, I'm not saying that 4.3s don't take their fucking beating.
4.3s take the beating.
But this 3.9 impressed the shit out of me with how much it took and still kept going.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up in the scrapyard, whatever. Then I bought this 94, I think, S10. That was a 4.3 5-speed two-wheel drive. Drove it for a while. It was actually a pretty nice little truck. I had the original Chevy GM cassette tape. It was like, these are the features on your new S10.
Oh, no shit.
It. Yeah, that was pretty fucking cool. I went to Goodwill and bought a bunch of cassettes to play in it and shit. It was pretty cool.
Fuck yeah.
Ended up selling that. I don't remember why, but I'm selling that. Still had my common fail. And then I think is when I bought my TDI Jetta. I had 2015 TDI SEL, so all the options, yada yada. It was a 6-speed, pretty nice car. Hit like 7 deer with it, and the last one totaled it.
Nice.
Traded the common fail in on a 14 Ram half-ton Bighorn that had a lot of miles, but it was a one owner, it was pretty well taken care of and shit. Drove that for a while. The 8-speed transmission started to fuck up in that.
Do its thing.
Yeah, started to do the hard shift thing, and then went to change the lifetime fluid, and evidently it's supposed to be like a greenish color in those ZF8 speeds.
Was it sparkly color?
It was black and sparkly. So just, like, I popped the drain plug, put it right back in. Nope.
We'll just top you off and
send
you down the road.
Yep, and I sold it on an auction website. And then I bought, let's see, it was a 90, it was another second gen. It was a regular cab, 2-wheel drive, 318, half ton. 96 or 7-ish. It was actually kind of cool because it was from, I bought it off of the guy's son, but his dad ordered it brand new when he worked for Chrysler in Kokomo. And it was like, it was kind of a weird configuration with how everything was on it because it was a 2-wheel drive NV3500. It was kind of a neat little history and story behind stuff. It was relatively low miles for what it was. It only had like 130,000 miles, but it was pretty rusty because it sat on the street its whole life and whatnot. Drove that around for a while, fixed as little as possible, and then I bought my red Chevy that I have now off of a local farmer that had it for a few years. I knew it was in good shape. Bought it, sold that blue Dodge, and then now I also have the Mini Cooper, $500 Mini Cooper. That is...
What a woman.
I'm quickly learning why it was only $500 every time.
What'd you bring out tonight?
The coupe.
Oh, I haven't seen this thing yet. I'm going to have to go check it out.
You have to look at this thing before you leave, dude.
Yeah. She's cherry.
Cherry's a word. I don't know if it's a word for that car.
From 40 feet away in the daylight, it looks pretty good.
Oh, it's a 40-footer.
Yeah.
It's 40, that's respectable.
It's a good 40-footer. Other than it's missing the passenger mirror. Let's see. It doesn't have the passenger mirror. It doesn't have a headliner.
You know what I think's 10 times funnier than a passenger mirror just not being there?
Or
a mirror, or a mirror in general.
Just dangling.
One that's just all beat the fuck. Yeah. Mm. Dangling.
You mean like the mirror on Nate's Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funnier.
You walk up to that thing and you can literally take the mirror and spin it and it'll just do circles. It's totally useless. It doesn't do anything but just,
you know,
spin.
I actually didn't know that, but I'm going to take that information now.
Yeah.
I'm going to run with it.
That thing will, driving down the road, it's so loose and shit. it'll bump every direction and turn back around and go back forwards again and everything. It's so funny.
And then I've also owned 2 Harley Davidsons.
God bless, Borther.
God
bless, Borther.
Did you hit Clibbins?
I didn't hit Clibbins.
Clibbins confirmed.
But before I had my driver's license too, I did ride a 80cc moped around for like 2 years. Put like 10,000 miles on that motherfucker and never left county lines.
Allegedly.
No, legally.
No, allegedly.
I cannot believe you.
Can't ride an 80cc rig, bud.
She just played as a 49, so fuck them.
Allegedly.
I literally made up the last 3 digits of the VIN and they accepted it. Because the VIN literally was not long enough.
What?
I just made up the last 3 digits and they're like, yeah, that checks out.
What?
Yeah, and got played as a Class B motorcycle.
What?
And then the day before I got my actual driver's license, I wanted to see how much it takes, so I bought a nitrous kit for it off of eBay. And I blew it the fuck up.
He was so confident in his license that he... He fucking ghetto fogged a moped. No,
like, I literally already passed the test. I literally just had to wait the 3 months or whatever to go in and get it. So it was like the day before, I'm like, and they make nitrous kits for fucking mopeds. Like, there's this tiny little, like, pop bottle size fucking nitrous bottles. And you hook it up and I'm like,
I'm buying a moped before UZC. That's it.
I just can't believe that you've legitimately put 10,000 miles on a moped.
Dude, I did. Like, we had FFA meetings that were at, like, you know, the different members' farms or whatever. And, like, in a car, they're, like, 15, 20 minutes. And I'm on this fucking moped going 35 mile an hour.
Yeah,
legs tucked, head down for the best fuel efficiency and speed.
You're on fucking buggy time, man.
Yeah, and I'm fucking, and it took me probably 45 minutes to get to
this fucking
place. Like, I would leave an hour early. The one time in the fucking rain to make it, to clear the fuck out the Kiwana.
Ron was riding his fucking hog in the rain.
Dude, I did. I rode that fucker in a blizzard once. There are Snapchat videos of me because I was out of sweet tea. And I wanted to go to Walmart and get fucking sweet tea. So I rode it in a blizzard, coveralls, both feet down the entire fucking time, rode this fucking thing through 3 inches of snow. I shit you not.
Bad ass.
There is evidence of it. It'll be like 2014, 2015. Like, there, because I made a bunch of people Snapchats where I was like, what fucking dumbass?
It's me, Ron!
It's a me! Ronaldo!
It's a me, Ronaldo!
So, yeah.
Oh, man. Fucking solid shitbox count out of this fucking guy.
It's pretty good.
It was pretty fucking good.
We've got the whole history of the shitboxes.
Oh, yeah. Every shitbox has a good story behind it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it has to have at least one good story.
Yes.
Or, like, a good
one. If it doesn't, it's not a true shitbox.
Oh, yeah. No.
Right?
Then it's just a beater, and that's not fun.
Nah.
So.
Fuck yeah.
And it had a 72 Pantera snowmobile, if you want to throw that in there, I guess.
Well, I guess winter threw sleds.
Yeah,
on
yeah, your old lady threw them into the count.
Yeah, I gotta count my wife in this, so.
Fucking Ron.
So, other than shitboxing, Ron is known for doing other things. Such as...
What the fuck was that?
Wrong pipe. I was expecting to spit it back up.
Okay.
Well, you could do the old dirty projectile, but...
Fucking Matt.
Fucking Matt.
Yeah, right where you're sitting, vomited last night.
But you gotta be, like, sunk into the chair, and then spring up like you're coming out of your coffin and go... In a half circle.
And miss me.
In this.
No, yeah. I was legitimately surprised he didn't get thrown up on.
Yeah, you can see.
Yeah.
You can see the pattern, like the spray pattern of this thing.
Yeah, I was rowdy.
Jesus.
But other than shitboxing, Ron's known for other things, like his involvement with America TV. So would you like to explain America TV to us and just what the fuck that is?
So before America TV was America TV, it was simply Brandon Overmeyer.
Shouts out.
Which, of course, he talked about for years, starting a YouTube channel and this and that, but it never ended up
into a head.
Flourishing sure. Until like 2020, 2021, you know, when everybody was bored and stuck in their houses because of shit and whatever.
Yeah.
So, really, from the time I was about 12 years old, pretty well every waking spare moment I had was in the shop with Brandon, who at the time was really focused on his sled pulling truck known as Coming On. Mm-hmm. Of course, up around this area, it's pretty well known. He's pretty well known for it and stuff. And at the time...
Before I ever knew Brandon, the truck I bought...
Yeah.
Had a Coming On sticker on it.
Had a Coming On pulling team sticker because he was, at the time, tried to make that a real big thing.
Yeah.
You know? And the Coming On's a 1996 Dodge Ram 2500 that Brandon actually daily drove to high school and slowly turned it into the monster that it is today. It started as just a work stock truck. Yeah. Then it was a 2.8 truck when 2.8 class was still a fucking thing. 2.5, 2.6, and then it remained pretty well a 2.6 truck up until they started... really changing rules and whatnot, and then Brandon had his first son, and it just, you know, you're spending 30, 40 grand every winter to stay competitive with the best of the best, and he had his son, and he's like, yeah, fuck this shit, and whatever. And then he got a wild hair up his ass a few years ago to put a big rear end in it and go to the 3-inch class when they change the rules around for that. So it now has a Merida Rockwell 20-145 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And as it sits, is just a filled block 3-inch / open class runner.
It's angry.
It's angry. It's still in timeout for now.
I know. I want it to come out of timeout.
So that's what actually the last two times it's seen a pulling track is actually with me behind the driver's wheel, which has been, especially the first time, was like, holy fuck, is this actually happening? Like, I never, in a million
It's your
years,
fault it's in timeout.
No, it's its fault it's in timeout.
Yeah, that truck's fault.
Yeah. That truck's fucking mad.
Maybe next time, don't break three axles or three pinions.
Three front ends.
Three
yeah.
front ends, and maybe you won't be shoved in the corner for
within
a
while. A day.
If oh, you yeah, yeah. Within a 3-hour span.
Yes.
Not even hooked to a sled. Just
and then you just get mad enough that you show up anyway, and if it breaks, it breaks.
Yeah, literally. And then fucking the track was ass, and I'd drive it like a super stock truck, just pedaling it to like 100, 115 feet and fucking layer down.
It was just, ah, fuck it.
Yeah. After I left the line at 6,300 RPM.
Yeah, yeah. You know what sounds cool at 6K? A fucking Cummins.
Especially the second it gets loaded down.
Oh, it's so mad. So mad.
But with that adventure, too, kind of as before America TV actually had started, with Brandon and Eric Beverly began the birth of what was originally my brainchild that they made happen was the truck that we call America.
Mm-hmm.
Red, white, and blue, second gen, dirt dragster. I guess I can't say it was really my brainchild, but like, hey, it'd be cool if we had a red, white, and blue truck called America. And then, yeah, obviously, I had... Just...
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no like actual like, oh, this is the suspension, this is what the engine should be. I'm just like, oh, it'd be cool if we had this.
And there it was.
And then it happened. it went around. It was a record holding truck for about 3 years in Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, and Kentucky with the KOI drag racing circuit, dirt drag circuit. Mm. And then kind of started going back and forth with some other people on the record and yada, yada, yada. And then we heard of this thing called Cletus and Cars. Like, hey, these guys do burnout competitions. We got this truck that'll probably do a pretty wicked burnout. And hey, we're going to do something no one else has ever seen before, and we're going to bolt triples on the rear.
And thus, Ron put another truck in timeout. Permanent timeout.
And thus, Ron took the truck with a 12-valve that had survived almost 5 years at that point of racing and nitrous and dynos and asphalt drag racing, no problem. And I killed it in less than 5 minutes.
Fucking murdered it. No, you didn't kill it. You murdered that motherfucker in cold blood.
Technically, okay. When I did my burnout with it, it lived again after that burnout.
So did Bernie.
And then,
that doesn't mean Bernie's okay.
No, hear me out. And yeah, it was hurt. There's no doubt it was hurt. But then J.H. Diesel, Justin Hildebrand, who... Brandon is good friends with from when Brandon used to take the sled pulling truck to Florida once a winter and go sled pulling down there. Still is in with Cletus and Cletus and Cars events and everything. His truck wasn't able to make it because he wasn't able to get together in time or parts or whatever. So Brandon's like, hey, do you want to drive ours for the Rivals thing? And he's like, sure. So we band-aided this thing together enough to make another 45-second run at burnouts that was just balls to the walls. And like the way the nitrous setup is in America is there's three stages as well as a button that's kind of your scramble button. He was on all three stages in the buttons the entire 45 seconds.
Oh my god.
And she was dead after that. Like I heard it, but he like I broke its leg.
He killed it.
And he fucking,
he took it out
he,
back and
he
shot
old
it.
Yellered that fucking
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. he took the horse out back and fucking shot yeah. it because his leg was broke.
Yeah. So then 2 weeks after that, I hear this event called the Freedom Truck Meet. And I'm like, oh, well, this kind of sounds cool. Like, it's in Ohio, which, gross. But, you know, fuck Ohio.
Fuck
okay.
Ohio, dude.
There's two reasons I enjoy Ohio. That's to get the fuck across it to the other side of it for reasons. And that's for the Freedom Truck Meet.
Yep.
Only that's two fair. Reasons I ever want to go to Ohio. Well, they'd advertise on the flyer, dirt drag racing. So I'm like, well, we got a dirt drag truck. It's a little hurt now, but we got a dirt drag truck. So in a matter of about a week and a half of many little sleep nights, pulled this 12-valve out, put a P-pump 4-valve out of Matt Snyder's old truck. It was a black quad cab short bed that had already been converted and everything. It was bought to get parted out and used parts for whatever. So we took the engine and threw it in America, and I ended up finishing the swap up Friday morning, showed up to Van Wert Friday afternoon by myself because both Brandon and Bevy were busy. They had other things already, like, going on.
Yeah, they had plans.
I've never dirt drag raced in my fucking life at this point. I show up with this record-holding dirt drag truck and a fresh engine swap, fresh setup, like, no idea what the fuck's going on, by myself on a test and tune night. Go out there, and there's Gabe Farrell's video of that year. Of course, the only clip of me in there, it was like my very first pass out, and I didn't have it spooled up at all, and I just off the line. It was embarrassing. But as I started to figure out how to come up on the Charger better and everything throughout that night, it ended up working out pretty good. That next day, I had enlisted the help of some alcoholic diesel wrench turner. I don't know. He's kind of like big on some app called TikTok, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I'd enlisted the help of him.
Fuck you.
I had enlisted the help of him to come out and be my pit crew because I was by my fucking self.
Yeah, you're freeballing.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of need somebody here. And it was a good thing, too, because I went through way more fuel in the test and tune than I thought I would. And I had to bring me some cherry diesel to put in this thing.
That was the second time you and I had ever met.
Yeah, it was. Because literally, like, the first of that year was the first time we actually met. And you came down and took a ride in America where it still had the 12-valve in it. And it was colder than fucking balls.
Yeah, I can't believe we did that.
And that truck was running, though, at that point, because it was so cold. That motherfucker was
I better loved it.
Because we were theorizing for a long time that the head was cracked on it and whatever.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always running the best. It kind of, like, skip out on the top end and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But that day, it was fucking angry. She was ready to go.
That truck ran really good that day.
And it was funny, because, like, I told Brandon, I'm like, hey, by the way, this guy who calls himself Goose is coming down. He's, like, kind of big on TikTok, and he's just like, okay. Like, he's like, the fuck's a TikTok?
Fuck's a TikTok?
And, but yeah, so, and then ended up winning, let's see, I won the one class and came second in the other. I think I won the mod class and came second in the open because I ran out of fucking nitrous for the last race. And I was still right there with him. Like, I literally just ran out of juice. Like, I'm hitting the scramble button like, no!
More!
Yeah. And it was, yeah. And at the time, I didn't realize it till we got home. Rear brakes didn't work.
Man, you don't need rear brakes.
Because we had swapped out the rear ends for the burnouts at Cletus and cars and never swapped. And we swapped them back, but then never bled the brakes. So, and then, with America TV, get this idea for, hey, this has been done before, but we want to do it anyway and, like, see what we can do with it. And that would be a diesel-powered monster truck. And I'm not talking Uncle Billy's, cousin's, sister's, goldfish, jack-o'-lanterns, fucking big Cummins, its own 44s, and da-da-da-da. No, like, legitimate.
Someone quote that. I'm not going to do it, but someone quote that and send it to me. I'm putting it on a shirt.
So, but like an actual competition level design chassis, big axles, 66-inch tall, 43-inch wide, 25-inch rim tire, monster truck. Not quite to the level of Monster Jam, but a monster truck.
Yeah.
Of course, it's been done before. King Kong was the very first diesel-powered monster truck back in the day, back old leaf spring truck. And there's been others. Dave Redzirez, rest in peace. He'd had the Air Dog and XDP truck with the big. He ended up having an Enforcer engine in that thing, and it had made buku power, and then he couldn't keep a transmission in it, so they put a Lenko in it, and it was a whole. It was an interesting deal. But he learned a lot from that, and Brandon was actually in constant contact with Dave when he was building.
Oh.
This truck is like bouncing ideas off, and because Dave had like, hey, this is how I did it, but this is how I would do it if I did it again.
Okay. Sure.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody knows the Diesel Brothers did it with Banks and everything else. So this truck is a diesel powered monster truck called the American Outlaw.
Yep.
Has an old sled pulling engine in it out of a pulling truck that we bought to part out, and then, I mean, we kind of looked at it like, that's an engine, got it running, threw it in this chassis. It has a 47-48 kind of hybrid deal with a Suncoast stubby shaft kit in it, which makes it roughly the same length as the Turbo 400 like that was in it.
Okay.
It had a big block and a Turbo 400 in it. Like, when we bought the chassis, we went and had to take it out. Bought it from Paul Wickelman. Had to go over there, and we took the engine and the transmission out so that way we could start putting the
12 Doing valve your in thing. It. Yeah.
So, put a 12-valve and this 47-48 transmission in it, and kind of, you know, with enough yokes and adapters, everything else lined up for the drop box, and was able to pretty well just kind of use the rest, really.
That's good.
Really wasn't a whole lot of extra to do. Other than the radiators, there's now two radiators that are back-to-back because they're a little skinnier than what you would have in, you know, a typical pickup truck. You know, we've tested a lot and jumped a lot and made several improvements over the, what, I think 3 or 4 years now that's been had. And we have another big surprise coming for it this year that it's technically already on it, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm not super excited. I'm not super excited, but I am excited. Because there's an aspect of it that I don't like, but then it still is cool. So, but I can't.
All I'm going to say is, what a woman.
It's going to be cool, dude.
It's going to be cool, but yeah. I'm not one of those guys, but it's still going to be cool.
You got to appeal to the boomers.
Yeah.
Sport ball.
Sport ball, my big black shit right here.
Yeah. And technically, it was the, or is the only swept line Dodge monster truck out there.
That
too.
Is cool as shit.
Yeah, that's super cool.
The body is from GTS Fiberglass, and those guys, like, because originally he wanted a second gen Dodge body, because that's everything else that we do.
Yeah, that's the thing. Dodge. That is your thing.
That just fits our program better, but. All the molds have been cut up and destroyed, or people that...
What the fuck?
Yeah, all the people that still have a body don't want to sell just the body. They want to sell the whole truck with it.
What's the beef with second gens?
They're just...
Look, I'm more impressed that you could find a sweatline body and not a...
The reason for it is somebody had contacted this GTS Fiberglass, and they really wanted a swept line. So, like, they paid to have the mold made.
Oh, so they still had it laying around?
Yeah, and they still had this...
You're telling me they cut up the 2G molds,
mm-hmm.
but not the swept lines.
Because these people that wanted this swept line, because there was actually a handful of them that they made for sled pullers, like pro stock sled pullers.
Yeah.
And so this is the same body, just it was molded differently, because obviously we don't need the doors to open and close, and we don't need the bottom of a cab, because it's like, get in.
Yeah.
So the body was just a little differently molded, but the general mold was still there. So that's what also gives it unique. Even though people, the last 2.5-3 years, whatever, it's been on like, oh, look at that old Ford. Ah, oh, look at that old Ford. Like, yeah, just ignore the DODGE across the fucking tailgate.
Doge. Right?
Like, it's not a Ford, but, you know.
You think everybody thinks it's a Ford because it's blue?
It's got to be because it's the blue and the round headlights. Like,
yeah, it does. If you're not, if you're uneducated and you don't know what you're looking at, swept lines are kind of a...
Well, especially in like a fiberglass body where the details aren't as there. Like, I can see why people would mistake it. It's irritating nonetheless.
Yeah, but the things you bring up about the swept line, the guy that paid for it, and, well, we don't need this and we don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Just as many people use fiberglass bodies in a second-gen platform.
Well, and that's what, like I said...
That's what's crazy to me.
Yeah, people just...
Shides, Paisley...
But theirs had already been made, and they've had them for several years, and whoever... Because he got a hold of all those people, like, hey, who made your body? Oh, this person. Hey, this person. I want a second and buy it. Well, we cut the mold. You know, if you want to pay to have a whole new... If you want to have a whole new mold made, you know...
I don't know. That's just insane to me. In my little fucking pea brain, a second-gen mold would make me more money than a swept-line mold.
And I agree, and the thing that we kind of come to the conclusion that we had really come to on it is that, especially with Dodge bodies, Dodge, if you know, the Raminator monster truck has been sponsored by Dodge, or now, you know, Ram, throughout the years for everything, and they want it to be the latest, greatest, and newest body style every single time.
Sure.
So as new body styles come out, they get a new body and everything, so, you know, a 94 to 2002 body was just not as desirable, so not as many people had them, yada, yada, yada. So,
I still think the swept line is just fucking fantastic. Like,
and it is. Yeah. I agree. I would agree that it worked out for the better.
Oh, yeah. It ended up being, you know, it wasn't initially what we wanted, but it ended up working out very well anyway. Because it is a staple, and it's unique, and it stands out in its own. So.
It looks fucking menacing as shit, too.
Yeah, it is a really intimidating body style, especially with the all red headlights just kind of add to it.
Yeah, no, that guy's mad.
It makes it look real evil.
Especially when he's doing donuts and you got the red headlights and then you got a red flame coming out the stack.
Yeah, no, that guy's pissed.
Yeah, that guy's he's real angry. Mad. It's got a refresh now. It's got freshly honed cylinders, new rings and stuff for this year because last year she was tired.
Mm-hmm.
She had enough blow-by to blow out the remain seal. At the end of the season.
That tickles.
Like, it was literally, like, the second to last race. I was sitting there running and just pouring out the rear. I'm like, that's a problem.
Fill her up.
So, but we, I mean, doing what we do with it, it's difficult to keep it cool anyway. But,
oh, yeah.
Having the dual radiators, having the fleece bypass kit on it helped a lot. We've managed to make it work. And actually, it was kind of cool because... Obviously, we're not going to go out there and do Monster Jam stuff, but at the Indy 4.0 Jamboree this last year, we had the opportunity to run with some newer chassis that are not as far dated as like what our chassis is or versus a lot of the guys we run with the county fairs and whatnot.
Right.
And we kind of put them on notice. It was pretty nice. We weren't originally going to be in the racing lineup, but we ended up going against Triple B Motorsports in, I can't remember what truck it was now. But one of the guys had wrecked the night before, and the promoter asked us, hey, you want to stand in his place for racing if he's not got it fixed in time? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. And sure as shit, we were right there neck and neck with this truck all the way to the very last jump. And Brandon had just landed a little bit different than he did, and he was able to get back on it quicker and ended up winning. But even everybody who was there was like, I never would have thought a diesel monster truck would be able to do that.
It will.
I never thought I'd be able to keep up because all of them in the past, not to dog on anybody or any of their designs, hasn't been able to, whether it be driving style or just technology that was available at the time or whatever, just hasn't really been able to quite do exactly what, you know, blown alcohol or methanol truck would.
Well, yeah. It's just a powerful ass motor.
It is.
It's quick.
It is. And throttle response, too, is a huge thing. You know, those guys don't have to worry about turbo lag. And, you know, we got to judge 5-10 seconds ahead of what we're doing to be able to have turbo lit before we go up there. And so it was just something that was kind of like we technically lost the race, but that was such a huge win for us.
Yeah.
To know that we were right there with them. But.
Yeah, it goes to show you how competitive you actually are.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good measurement. And kind of another goal to be like, hey, we did that last year. What can we do this year?
Right.
So.
Guess we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Right.
Other than that, the only other things we really done was Bernie, which was the clapped burnout truck that I put together in a haste for UCC last year that I went out and said I wasn't going to burn it completely down its very first show out at UCC. And then the entirety of the competition to that point was a shit show, and so I had to give the people what they wanted, which was burning it the fuck down.
You did your part.
At UCC.
That was so cool.
So, and then...
It was cool, other than every time you post the video of him going, Wah-bah! I get fucked!
Well, I told you to burn that motherfucker down, and then you're just like... You know, like, I knew he would. I knew it. It's just quieter, and then the camera has to pan, and, like, you know, it's more clippable. He's a sex icon.
You ever wonder what lead tastes like? Asking for a friend.
Oh, my God.
It's not
how many calories it might have.
Well, I mean, at that point, it's null.
Nah, really, man. I need another calorie count. I don't want it to fuck my sugar up.
So, with that being said, we've kind of led up to the point that I want to talk with you about next, which is the Poor Diesel Challenge, because that seems to be what's coming up on the plate here pretty quick.
Yeah, like, less than 9 weeks.
Is that less than 9 weeks away?
Yeah.
Oh, my...
Yeah, no, we're within...
Yeah. We're within now my... At least a couple hours every evening, and my weekends are now booked. Like...
Damn. Okay. Here we go.
So, the Poor Diesel Challenge. Mr. Yeah, I'm just going to say his name. Fuck him. Robert Rally. At the beginning of this year, I went and I was kind of gearing up and getting game plans for, like, all right. I sent Bernie off with a bang at the last burnout in Michigan Automania. Like, kind of getting together. What am I going to do for that? I want to make it to this show, that show, whatever, for 2024. And then I think it was January 3rd or 4th. Robert Rally tagged me in a video. I'm like, the fuck? Like, I know Robert. We're on a cool level from Cletus and Cars and stuff. Like, I know, yeah. Whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, I want to impose a challenge on the big three. Cummins, Duramax, and Powerstroke. Set one budget. See you can do what. And I'm like...
This guy just called you out on, like, a Tuesday.
Yeah, it was. For real. It was literally just, like, a random fucking Tuesday. And I'm like, okay, where's the part where I'm tagged in? Oh, no, I know where I'm tagged in this. And he's like, and he was kind of explaining a little bit of, like, what he had an idea for the challenge at the time. And we didn't know what it was going to be called. But he's like, oh, we'll do a drag racing dyno, like, maybe a sled pull or something, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, and since I know these people don't really have anything going on for 2024, I'm like, thanks, Robert. Yeah. I had nothing else for my entire year planned.
May as well, like, just do this.
Yeah. Like, I want to nominate Ron for the Cummins and Tyler for the Power Stroke, Tyler Hewitt. And I'm like, huh. Okay. I'm like, so immediately I'm like, yeah, sure, fuck it. Like, why not? And then... we end up creating this group chat on Instagram that's titled Top Gear, But for Diesels. We end up talking about it more and more, and we kind of talked about more of, like, more specific events and, like, kind of what the budget would be or what we are and aren't allowed to do, yada, yada, yada. We end up getting on a phone call on, it was my birthday this year. We got on this big 2-hour-long phone call going over all the details and everything of this challenge, what we're going to call it, what we're going to do, when's it going to happen, yada, yada, yada. And it wasn't for sure locked in it was going to be the Ultimate Call-Out Challenge yet, but it is now. And,
yeah.
Basically what it is you have $10,000 to buy and build a diesel-powered truck. Obviously one Duramax platform, one Powerstroke platform, and one Cummins platform.
Yeah.
There are, what, 4 or 5 parts to this challenge. The first part being there's going to be a 100-mile drive to Brownsburg, Indiana, Ultimate Call-Out Challenge.
Yep.
And it's going to be who makes it, who has to stop, like, if you break down, this or that, whatever. And then who gets the best fuel mileage on the way down. You get first, second, third place for that. And then lead into that will be happening on Thursday, which the Ultimate Call-Out Challenge, for those who don't know yet, is May 31st through June 2nd this year, Lucas Oil Raceway, Brownsburg, Indiana. And so that'll be on Thursdays when we're going to drive down. They're both going to meet up at the America TV compound because it's like 103 miles from the shop to Brownsburg. It's almost perfect. And then we're all going to drive down, convoy down there. That'll be Thursday, then Friday. We don't know for sure at the time of recording this, don't know for sure the exact order of events other than the burnout competition. The burnout part of it will be Friday night with the other burnouts for the general UCC burnout competition. It's going to be running with the general public and whatever else. But somewhere in mixed in between Friday and Saturday is going to also be a drag racing portion of this and a chassis dyno portion of this. And that somehow throughout all of this is going to be also a show and shine portion.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of idea being behind this whole challenge is someone who's a high schooler or fresh out of high school or whatever can sell whatever reliable shitbox daily that they've been driving for the past 2 or 3 years, and they've saved up $10,000 as well, and take this and build a truck, a diesel truck that can be competitive, or, you know, go out and have a fun street truck with, that's also going to get you A to B.
Sure.
And so with, you know, $10,000 budget, it's pretty realistic for that, I feel. And it's basically...
Oh, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's to see, like, which platform is the most budget-friendly, in a way. And, yeah, so then we're going to have that portion. We got the drag racing. There's going to be one pass for the drag racing. We got one pass, go, no go, and nothing. No points will be awarded if we oil down the track, is what has been determined as well.
You get one pass.
One pass. Because there is so much drag racing going on at UCC because it's also an ODSS race.
Correct.
So there's,
it's an ODSS event.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So there is so much drag racing going
on. Yeah, the track's tied up all 3 days.
Exactly. So it's basically just going to be like, here's these three random shit boxes, see what happens. So we each get one singular pass to make something happen. So you blow the tires off the line, you're fucking done.
How much nitrous are you using?
To be determined. because here's the thing. So the current progress for the truck that I'm using. Oh, probably the best part about all this. Okay, so if you know me and you know Brandon, you know I have like no actual resources myself to put towards this, and everything I do is via through Brandon, which I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that's gotten me and everything. Don't get me wrong. I hadn't told Brandon I accepted this or anything about this until I'd already said yes.
That's fucking hilarious.
So it was literally like that next Saturday after the phone call, and I was like, hey, by the way, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're doing this thing.
Yeah, and he's like, I guess.
I can see
you don't have a choice, Brandon.
Yeah.
I can see him doing that,
Oh, I can too, 100%.
Because at first, when this challenge was first, like, introduced, I was thinking, like, Bernie. I'm like, hell yeah, it's already been on a budget this entire time. Like, I got next to nothing into it, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh yeah, we got to drive 100 miles to the event and go down the drag track. I'm like, about that.
Nah, man. Let's just fish plate Bernie. It'll make it.
Honey, no, she won't.
Fuck off. Bernie. No, Bernie's a gal. Not.
She is a gal.
I have more faith than anyone in this room in Bernie.
And it's very ill-placed. I'll tell you that right now.
That's okay. I know. For a fact.
Listen, I was...
Bernie has refused to die until this point, and I've also seen a stock 47 do things a stock 47 has no fucking business doing.
That was still so funny.
Yeah, for the record, the last burnout competition I had Bernie at was Michiano Mania. I got stuck up against the barrier, or the wall, and I'm just kind of like, huh, I wonder what happens if I do this. And while still at wide open throttle, go from drive to reverse... And then back to drive again. And proceed to do that, what, probably 6 or 7 more times throughout the whole thing?
I don't know. All I know is I seen the oil boiling on the fucking cylinder head, and that bitch started.
Yeah.
That it did.
You can call my faith ill-placed all you want. It's in Bernie.
I have faith in the engine. I do not have faith in the chassis.
Fix it.
The frame will not fish hold plate. Together. Honey, it doesn't need fish plate. It needs a new fucking frame. I was underneath it there today and poked my pinky finger through the bottom of the frame rail. Like, there was no holes, and I just...
No, that's okay.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No.
It's more fun when you break it off the line.
Honey, not when it breaks in half. Like, if something, like, rear end
no,
shock.
That's, yeah, no, that's
shock
the
part. Drive shaft.
Oh, wait, it's not four-wheel drive. You can't keep driving it.
Correct.
Damn it. Stupid Bernie.
Correct. So, it just so happened that Brandon had just, at like 2 days prior to me telling him, hey, we're doing this, bought this regular cab 12-valve NV 4500 two-wheel drive truck that is a much better starting point than what Bernaldo is.
Bernaldo.
Bernaldo. I'm Ronaldo. It's Bernie. Bernaldo.
It's a love child?
Oh, so much love.
Can you explain yourself, please? I want to catch this in 4K.
I fucked the truck.
Well, there you go.
You got the exclusive on that.
You fucked that thing, aren't
you? Yo, this isn't. Hey, this isn't fucking Jerry Springer, okay? I'm gonna need you to retract
Jerry,
this.
Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. What
I'm
the
not
fuck,
the
Ron?
I'm not the father. I'm just Papa Ron.
Damn it, Ron!
I'm just Papa Ron.
Damn it, Ron! Oh, what? I'm not allowed to sneeze.
You know, he's taking the Papa Ron thing and run with it. I want my royalties off of that.
What, do you want a fucking doll hair?
Hey, you can buy me some Papa John's.
Okay, bet.
They deliver here, that's all I'm saying.
I've already had my supper for a night. I'm drinking it.
Everyone has Papa John's time.
Papa John's time.
Hell yeah.
PJT, baby.
Oh my god.
POV, we order Papa Ron's live on the podcast.
I'm not ordering Papa Ron's. I'm not hungry.
Yeah, I'm not hungry. Like, Vast. Straight up not hungry.
So anyway, I live in a prison.
So this is basically Nazi Germany.
Yeah, this is it's a dictatorship at this point.
This is basically Nazi Germany, he says.
I'm gonna blow the tires off that second gen when I pull out of here.
Oh my god.
You act like you weren't going to anyway.
No, I made that decision a while ago.
So, since you have the platform, what's going into it? What's being done to it? What are you willing to share here, Ronald?
So, I'm a little late.
Put a 350 diesel in it, pussy.
Absolutely fucking not.
Do it for Dale.
No.
Put a Pontiac in, Jesse.
Yeah.
I don't know what the whole Pontiac thing is about recently, but it's hilarious.
It's because Jesse's trying to be like, I'm going to fool all these people by telling them it's a Pontiac. Yeah.
And put it in my dance side. Yeah.
Come the fuck on.
So I'm going to lay all my cards out on the table because it's all going to come out anyway because we have a check and balances of like everybody's got to show up with their receipts for this deal.
Okay.
Whether we do it.
Transparency.
Whether we do it before we leave for the 100-mile drive or once we get down there, whatever, we got to have our receipts. We got to have this shit in line. And thankfully for me, because I had to ask, because there's so much shit just laying around the America TV compound that's from this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm like, hey, so what do we do for shit we have laying around that, like, we're not giving money for, but obviously it has a monetary value.
Sure.
So basically for that kind of stuff, we got to go and find similar or as close to as what we can find of what the part is on Marketplace, kind of get an average of 3 or 5 ads or whatever, submit it to the group chat for approval, basically. Be like, hey, okay, this is what I want to put this price point at for, you know, let's say, like, I'm using the turbo off of the monster truck. We got a new turbo for it this year, so I'm going to use the turbo off of the monster truck that's seen 3 years of abuse. Not even refreshing it, nothing, just throwing that bitch on there.
We'll bring the K31 down.
Oh, honey.
We talked about that today.
Just yeah. For a spare.
Fuck it. Yeah. We can make it work if we have to. But, so, like, stuff like that, you know, is like, you just have to find an average value and be like, hey, this is what I'm going to put this at. Are you guys cool with that or not? You know, just, we're trying to be as transparent as possible. No one wants to cheat in this. Like, this is supposed to be a legitimate form of, you know, like,
yeah,
what we're doing. There's no, you know, cheating isn't winning. I mean, you may win, but, like, you know,
cheating isn't winning. You ever pull work stock?
No, Jess Performance, I haven't.
Don't ever fucking insult me like that again.
Throwback to Michiana Auto Mania when the same truck pulled in all the fucking classes.
Don't ever fucking insult me like
that
again.
That was not a work stock truck.
Because I was going to bring Coming On Up for that originally.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh yeah, $150 if you win the open class. Fuck you.
It's not worth pulling out of the fucking barn.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was going to be it coming out of timeout. And, like, nah. So I just took Bernie instead and took the...
We should take it... Hear me out.
Uh-oh.
We should take it to Michigan.
Why?
Because Michigan guys get mad easy. Especially if some dumb fucking hicks from Indiana come up there with a truck that has no business and kick their ass.
You know who gets madder and cheats to win and they let it happen?
I'm listening.
Ohio.
Oh, no, we can take it to Ohio, too.
We had a 2.5 truck at one point, Kyle McGoy's, that we took over there. And this thing ran wicked good for no fucking reason in a 2.5 class. Whooped ass everywhere it went, 2.5 class. Mm-hmm. We could never really explain it, honestly. Like, it just fucking ran.
Yeah.
Take it over to Ohio, and those Ohio boys didn't like these Hoosier boys showing up. And the one truck had fucking nitrous on it. The tech guys knew it, let it go, and still only beat us by a foot. Yeah, like, you could hear, like...
Probably because they were mad about the Hoosier boy showing up with...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it literally, like, it went... Like, you could hear him hit the fucking nitrous.
Yeah, you can hear the spray coming.
Like,
it's fun going up there and watching all the gas guys get mad.
Oh, yeah. Or when the gas guys come down here and they're like... But, off track a little bit, but we're trying to be as transparent and as honest with everything that we're doing. Like in my case, we pulled out. So another thing we did was we pulled this truck in, pulled the 12 valve out, pulled the NV 4500 swap out of it, sold them both. So there was $3,000 in the truck Sold the engine for $1,500. Sold the NV4500 swap for like $2,500. But you can't go negative in your budget, so that makes our budget for the chassis zero. So we're starting with a free chassis. Huh. Is essentially what it is. We agree with that rule. If we sold, because that was another thing I asked, because obviously we part out fucking trucks all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
So hey, if I sell parts off of this, you know, does that take it off of my budget, my total cost for it? Like, yes, but you can't go negative.
You can't be money ahead.
Right.
Okay.
Of your $10,000 budget. Okay. So
yeah.
So we made the chassis free, basically. Had just so happened to have a P pump, or not a P, it wasn't a P pump yet. VP44 truck that was like 500,000 fucking miles. Like, this thing had already been doctored and was hurt and everything else. They were like, hey, our recipe for success lately, at least, has been P pump four valves. Let's make a P pump four valve, you know?
Yeah.
And it ended up, so we put a price on that thing of like $500 because it was 500,000 miles. I mean, it ran, but not really well, type of thing. So we happen to have a 6.7 common rail from a completely another part out project or whatever. Well, our friend JH Diesel was looking to swap his P pump 24 valve for a 6.7 common rail. So we're like, hey,
sure,
we'll trade you. You know, we'll take your P pump 4 valve, and it's hurt. We knew it was hurt. And we'll trade you this 6.7 for this P pump 24 valve. So we put a value that 6.7 we'd normally sell to Joe Blow for $3,000.
Yeah.
So we put $3,000 into it, essentially, to get this P pump 24 valve, and used everything except for the head block, piston, the short block, the head, and the cam. Used everything else to put onto this VP engine. So pump, timing cover, injectors, lines, yada, yada, yada. And it didn't come with a manifold or a turbo. So essentially we've got $3,500 in the engine as it sits right now. And I doctored it up with, you know, I put a bueno paint job on the front cover and the valve cover. If you've seen my TikTok or videos I've uploaded of that.
Recharging the aerosol can was dirty.
Paint's like $4, $4.50 a can. I'm not paying for a new fucking can.
Hey, watch me almost blow myself up.
To save $4. That is the name of this competition, though. Like, literally, like, no, that's why fair. I put air into this can and damn near killed myself for the sake of saving $4.
How tight were you puckering?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, the answer to that is yes. I've done it before, but that can, for whatever reason, like, was not really wanting to cooperate.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it. It
wasn't
it.
A happy guy.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah. And then painting the still wet valve cover with the brake clean on it. That it dried great after like 3 days.
What?
Yeah, no, it was still tacky like 3 days later.
What the fuck?
It's fine. So, and then we've got a 47RH that we had sitting around from a different project that I haven't put a price on yet. I know I have to count it into my budget, but I don't know or remember what is internally in it, so I have to find that out before I put the price on it. Because I'm not going to value it as a stock used transmission, you know, if it's got a valve body and clutch and yada, yada, yada in it. So I got to figure that out yet, whether it's tear it apart and look at it, or pretty sure Landis Diesel's who built it, see if he has a record of it and what was in it. So we've got the engine, the transmission. The cab is off of the frame. We cut a lot of the fender supports out. The fender is only going with 3 bolts now. So that way, if we have to work on it, we can just bing, 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 psh, fender's off. We're going to put the cab back on in such a way that it's going to be a 7-pin trailer plug for the cab to engine harness.
Badass.
So that way, if we have to tear this cab off to work on it, like especially down at the event, it's going to be easy. It's going to be able to just fucking unplug that harness, 4 bolts, 6 bolts for the fenders, lift that cab up, because we're going to bring some tall jacks and jack stands. So if we have to, pick it up, roll the chassis out, do what we need to do, roll the chassis back under, be done. This is the plan. We're going to engineer it this way, hoping we don't have to fucking do it. Because that's going to be a lot of long nights if we have to. But if we make it to where it's easy to, we won't have to. But if we don't engineer it like this, we're going to have to.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a good, this is general rule of thumb. Oh, something that, a part of this challenge that some of you got to hear on a previous podcast episode, impromptuly, was my trip to get drag slicks for this thing in Gary, Indiana, which was not my smartest decision.
It was not your proudest moment.
Yeah.
Not probably my dumbest, but it's up there. I found a set of drag radials and a set of drag slicks on Marketplace at the same time. And in my head, I'm like, oh, if I message both of these guys, one will respond or one will work out to where I can go get it, whatever. No, they both, it all lined up. I'm like, fuck. So I went, and first I went to Elkhart to get these radials, and they were 17-inch wheels, and I knew that. But I didn't really pay attention to the other two numbers in the sizes. Yeah, they came off a Fox Body Mustang. They are car tires.
Badass!
They are low-profile car radials. And while I'm there, this dude's like, you want to hear my Fox Body? I'm like, sure, Greg. I'll listen to your Fox Body.
Checks out.
And so he starts it up. He's like, yeah, it's got this fucking cam and intake. And he lists all this shit off. And it's sitting there idle. I'm just like, sounds like a 5-liter Fox Body. I don't, with some Flowmasters. I don't, I don't know what the fuck else. Like, super cool, dude. So anyway, buy those for $100. The pair of them. Leave. And then, of course, now I get to head to Scary Gary. As the sun's going down, which was
not a good time to be in Scary Gary.
I've had problems.
No time is a good time to be in Scary Gary.
No,
but daylight's way better.
I mean, yeah, no, it makes it way worse.
Yeah. So first of all, I was wearing a bright red sweatshirt.
Now you're affiliated.
And, like, as I was getting ready to leave Elkhart, I had topped off on gas, and I like looked in the mirror, and I'm like, "Oh, this is a gang thing, isn't it?"
Gang thing.
I literally googled, is red gang color? And it's like,
blood.
Oh. Yeah. I'm like,
I'm taking the red Chevy and my red hoodie.
Yeah. So thank God I had a gray, dirty ass sweatshirt in the truck. Swap that bitch. I fucking put that on. Took that red sweatshirt off. So to make things even sketchier, the guy that I'm meeting for these slicks is not even the guy that I've been messaging on Facebook. It's his buddy, because this guy works thirds. So he's got to be at work.
It's his buddy.
And so I'm driving, and I'm like, I'm trying to fucking haul ass, because the sun's going down. And
yeah.
I'm heading that direction, and I'm like, I'm doing like the finger thing with the sun going down, like trying to figure out how much daylight I got left. I'm just like, oh, like, this is not going to be good. I pull off the interstate, and there's two truck stops right there, and there's, like, a pretty decent amount of traffic moving right there, so I'm like, okay, like, this is all right, you know? And then one block further south.
Yep, you get outside of there, it's bad.
Yeah. One block further south, way less traffic. I'm like, okay, another block further south, less traffic. I'm like,
this is getting spooky, man. All right,
and I'm looking at all the windows. I'm like, is there bars? There's no bars. No bars in the windows yet. I'm like, all right, we're doing okay. And so then I cross a set of railroad tracks, and then I turn right, and I cross another set of railroad tracks, and then I got real close with Jesus. My Lord and Savior. I know we haven't talked in a while, J-Man, but, like, I need you now.
I need to get out of this.
Because the address showed it. It looked like it was, like, this buy-here-pay-here car lot, or at least, like, the repair shop right across the side street, but it was right along a main drag. So I'm like, okay. This may not be too bad. And the ad said that the tires, it was wheels and tires. It was like the stock Chevy aluminum wheels, 6.5 bolt pattern wheels that had come off of, the ad said they came off of Drag Racing Cummins. All it said. And there's like two pictures of these things. All right, whatever. So it looks like it's at this car dealership or this repair shop across the side street. I'm like, okay, so this may not be too bad. So I pull into the dealership. I kind of pull up to like the main garage building, and dude gave me a phone number to call for his buddy that was meeting me. So I call the phone number. I'm like, hey, man, I'm here to buy these drag slicks. He's like, oh, yeah, I see you over there, but you got to back out and come back here. I'm like, huh? What do you mean back out and come back here? He's like, we're behind the dealership. Okay, whatever. Like, I didn't see anything back there, but, like, all right. So I back out, and I go a little further down the side street. Dude, no shot. This is, like, It had to have been like a staging area when they were building the state road or something at yeah. one point behind there. Because it was literally all these job site trailers, like the office type job site trailers, that had one address at the very corner of the side street. And then, like, for the different, you know, trailer one, trailer two, whatever, was spray painted on the outermost corner of the trailers to designate, like, where the fuck your mail went. And I'm like, oh, okay. And at the very end of this little lane was a brand new Escalade. I'm like, ah, know what's going on back there. So there's a little, there's like this little turnaround area. So this dude was at trailer two. So I go in this little turnaround area. So I'm at least facing the fucking exit.
Yeah.
Get up, face the exit. I'm like, like hyping myself up to get out of this fucking truck. I leave my phone in the truck. I take the keys out of the ignition. I pop my lock, open the door, pop the lock again, get out. All I have is my gun in my one pocket and the cash in the other, and that's it. So, like, if I get beat the fuck up and they try and mug me, like, you're not going to get a lot.
Yeah.
And I obviously got my truck keys, too. And so I get out, shut the door. I go up to this dude who's like, yeah, hey, man, what's up? And I'm, like, asking, like, do you know anything about these wheels and tires? Like, because there's no air in them. I'm like, do they hold air? Do they not? What? What's the story? He's like, I don't know. I'm supposed to just meet you and get the money, you know? And I'm like, you know what? And I'm looking at the sky, and it's like, there's still daylight, but like, just barely, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to give you the money. You count it. Help me load them. I'm going to fucking leave. It was $150 for the pair of these things.
Sure.
I'm not even fucking worried.
Yeah, no, just leave. Get out. Get in. Get out.
So I hand him the cash, and he counts out real quick. He's like, all right, all good. I'm like, all right, I'll roll this one up. You roll that one up. We'll be good. As soon as we start rolling his tires up, fucking pop, 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 pop. Wee, 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 scream. Fucking cops. Like, there was a shooting. Couldn't have been two blocks from there. Could not have been more than two blocks away. And this fucking police chase ensues right in front of this fucking place. I'm like, So I throw this fucking wheel and tire in there. He hands me his. I throw it in there and kind of get it settled in there so it'll at least ride.
Yeah.
And I turn around to, like, say, hey, thanks, man. You know, just real quick. Just leave me. Motherfucker's gone. Nowhere to be seen. Like, less than 3 seconds, I load this thing into my fucking truck, turn around and say, hey, thanks, man. Psh, gone. Ghost. I'm like, okay, cool. It's time to fucking go. So I get my truck keys out, and I go to unlock my door, and there's a trailer that's, like, behind where I'm facing.
Yeah.
And I hear the fucking door open. I draw my fucking pistol. Like, I grab it out of my pocket. I'm getting ready to, like, point it towards this trailer. Some poor lady in a bathrobe is taking her fucking trash out. And I just, like, I have it, like, at my torso, and I'm like, and I just kind of put it down, back down by my fucking side. I'm like, and she just kind of stops and looks at me. I stop and look at her. I'm like, sorry. unlock my truck, get in, lock it again, start it up, fucking go. I get back to this, like, main stretch, and the light was turning red. I'm like, nope, fuck you. Blew through that motherfucker. Keep going. Cross the railroad tracks, and I, like, pull up my GPS, like, all right, Siri, how am I getting home? It's like, continue straight past the road where I know I turn north to get to the interstate. I'm like,
yeah.
No, absolutely fucking not. Turn north to go to the interstate. Saw this motherfucker on a moped with a trailer behind it.
Badass.
Because Gary, Indiana.
The Dewey Mobile
with a trailer. Yeah, 100%. To which point, I start heading north towards the interstate, and I'm finally, like, safe enough where I feel I can stop at stoplights again.
Yeah.
To which I'm like, you know what? I'm by myself. I should call somebody who has my location right now for just a few more blocks, to which I call Mr. Wild Goose Diesel Repair.
And that's how Ron got on the podcast and talked about Scary Gary.
Yeah. It's like, are you okay? What's good? Like, I'm a Gary. Why? And I just, yeah, explain that whole deal. So, the things I'm doing to try and win or get the edge up on this
fucking
competition.
Yeah, no, you're doing it, man.
Like, I can be like, oh, why the fuck would you do that? Like, $150 for drag slicks on wheels that hold air.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, I got them home and they hold air. Yeah, like, that's fucking great, you know, compared to these guys. And I'm probably going to use, like, self-tapper beadlocks to fucking get this thing to stick. So, yeah, like, it's just, that's kind of like the spirit of this challenge is like, hey.
Oh, for sure. You just, you know, get it done by any means.
Yeah, constantly scouring marketplace for this deal, that deal. I got a precision wastegate off of marketplace for like $120. By the way, first time I'm ever engineering a wastegate into my design of building something. Most of the time, it's just, ah, I don't need a wastegate.
The turbo just does what it does.
Yeah, yeah, it does
gonna,
its thing.
Turbo's going to do the whistles thing, and shoot, 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 and then, you know. So, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with the poor diesel challenge. I've got to, I've got to get the engine fired up, verify timing, put the transmission converter in, put it in the chassis, I robbed the fuel tank, fast fuel system, and the transmission cooler off of Bernie to put onto this thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take all that, put it on there, and then we need to get to testing. So our current goal is, I think it's the first or second weekend of May. No. Yeah, first or second weekend of May, Brian Hsu of
Quality Diesel.
They're having a dyno day.
Yep.
So our goal is to have it together.
Don't go there. It's bad juju.
We're going to go there to
don't
try
go, it's bad juju.
And get some
don't go, it's bad
seat
juju.
Time with the chassis and
that's
dynoing.
How you kill your motor.
Well,
ask me how I know.
Good thing we got a spare. So we're going to go there to that dyno day, try and lay down a few passes on there to see where we're at, try and get a good strategy to dyno this thing, because chassis dynoing a mechanical engine is a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be able to load it up right and whack it the right uh-huh. time and everything. So we're going to try and that's our current goal. And then after that's together, assuming that all goes well, I'm going to be making a lot of test passes on the little dead end road in front of the shop, I'm guessing, with slicks. Or if I have enough time and the local drag strip has a test and tune date that lines up, I'd really like to get it down there because it's an 1/8 mile asphalt track.
Yeah.
And just get an idea as to what's going, get some strategy.
That'd be the way to do it.
So that's where I'm currently at with it and running out of time to do so.
It's going to be cool, man.
Will be. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited for it. I'm definitely nervous as all hell. Honestly, as long as all three stay alive for the entire competition, it might be mm-hmm. something to really, you know, look for.
Sure.
But I have a feeling or a fear, maybe, whatever you want to call it, that one of them at least.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Something's going to break.
Mm-hmm. Just hope it's not A, me, or B, in a major way.
Yeah.
So, because obviously, I mean, you know, I like these guys and everything. Nobody wants to see anybody else fail
mm-hmm.
by any means, but...
No, it just makes it all less fun, too, if not everybody makes it all the way through.
Exactly. No. So, and we've talked about the last phone call we had for the point system. We talked about putting a price on sexual favors for parts. So, like, if we're down there at UCC and, like, you know, Tyler...
Hey, man, stripping for parts.
Yeah. Yeah, get Robert up there just stripping for parts, going up to fucking whoever's booth trying to get a short block or something, you know.
That'd be so fucking funny.
So.
I don't know, man. I think if you're willing to whip your cock out for parts, it should just be free on the budget.
That's the other thing is, like, even sponsored things, we got to factor in at over-the-counter cost.
Sure.
Because, you know, as if someone...
That only makes it fair.
Yeah, and as if someone was walking in and saying, hey, I want to do this for my truck. You know, this is what's going to cost them. And same thing is, we're not really allowed to use our platforms either to try and, like, get good deals. Because, of course, the first video that I made announcing this challenge and whatever had, like, 500,000 views on TikTok. Got a lot of attention. And I had abhors of people reaching out, hey, you want some injectors? I'll sell them stupid cheap. You know, you want this turbo? I'll sell it stupid cheap. You know, like, just to help me with this competition.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate the sentiment behind it. I do. But that really undermines what we're trying to do
here. Yeah.
You know.
90% of people don't get that deal.
Exactly. Yeah. If I wasn't who I was, you wouldn't be offering me that. Or you wouldn't sell it
no doubt.
To that.
Yeah.
You know, so we're really trying to avoid that as mm-hmm. much as possible. Even like that deal with the engine on JH. Like, yeah, we're friends, but that was a fair market.
Yeah, it was a fair deal.
Trade deal price, exchange, whatever you want to call it.
You know, so.
No, I'm with you on that 100%.
Yeah. It only makes it fair, you know. I'm definitely, the more I think about the budget and what I have, like now I've got to factor in a brand new stainless diesel manifold that I'm putting on the engine. This fast pump that I got sponsored for Bernie last year, but I'm still factoring in at full retail cost.
Yep, $800.
Yep, for this one. It's the little stuff like that I didn't really think about is adding up pretty quick.
And oh, and it will.
I'm going to have to start really watching towards the end here where I'm mm-hmm. getting, especially with whatever I figure out is in the transmission. It's going to be
Yeah, that'll kill you.
So.
Well, sweet. Yeah. I guess that's kind of the update on the poor diesel challenge.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, from Ron.
At least Ron's half of it right now, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Ron's third of it.
Ron's third of it, yeah. We need to get Tyler on here, Tyler Hewitt, and start talking to him.
Yes, we do need to do that.
And get Tyler's story and everything.
Yeah, the guy who has the anti-Cummins swap club, yet kept the worst part about a Cummins, which is the Dodge around it.
I still think that's so
Dodge.
Puts a fucking 6-liter power stroke in a first gen.
He took my thing.
He did take your thing. You were going to do that thing. And then
I've been on a fucking hill for a while, and I just haven't got to do it.
I'm going to be really excited to see Anthony's 6-liter swap Tacoma done.
Yes.
Oh, dude.
The crawler. It's going to be cool,
it's
man.
It's going to be so cool. What, the yeah. 6
huge,
is what he's calling it?
Huge. Uh-huh. Huge shout out to Fully Deleted.
No, for real.
Yeah, Fully Deleted's
that
great
dude
guy.
Is.
Yeah. He was mad that I used my legal name instead of Ron when I ordered stuff from him. He's like, dude, if I known you, I'd have hooked you up, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, no wrong. I appreciate the shit out of that, but I'm just some fucking autistic shit with a diesel addiction. Like, you know.
You're way bigger than I am. That's what I appreciate. And that's, I think that's why I will always,
appreciate
I know this is
him.
Super random.
Yeah.
This is why I will always appreciate Anthony. Because in the grand scheme of things, I'm little. I'm tiny. I'm a minuscule little dude on the internet.
Sure.
And he takes care of me.
No, mm-hmm. That's what he is. He's like, I don't know him nearly as well as either you guys do, just from my, because we only started really talking with the announcement of this poor diesel challenge, actually.
Sure.
Funny enough, because he was looking to maybe sponsor some people or whatever.
Okay.
And yeah, he's reached out, we've talked. I mean, he's a really cool dude, not to mention like all his designs are actually really cool as well.
Oh yeah. No, I love his stuff.
Yeah, it's all original shit.
I have exactly. his hat on right now.
Yeah. And that's what I ordered. It's going on the poor diesel challenge truck. The transmission or wear items sticker.
Yeah.
Because Dodge.
The one on the back of that second gen says mm-hmm. ISO transmission and uncracked dash.
Second gen things.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess for now we can go ahead and close this out. Ron, where can they find you?
I am at Ron MF Maple on every platform except for YouTube. YouTube is America-TV, which is where I'm also going to be uploading all the long-form update videos to this poor diesel challenge.
Okay.
So.
Dakota?
Find me on Instagram at dhickok, H-I-C-K-O-K, underscore 5.9.
What's the D stand for?
Don't worry about it. You can find me on the TikTok at Hickok Diesel.
You can find me at WildGoose_repair on both TikTok and Instagram. But
dude, is that Wild Goose Repair?
Is that Wild Goose Diesel Repair? You fucking beat me to it, you son of a bitch.
But until next time.
Bye-bye!
Bye.